In a world where there is exclusivism, where there is discrimination, here is a God who proclaims himself as the God of all, not the God of the few. Take note of that. He is the God of all, and so he desires everyone to be saved. He desires all to be a member or to belong to his kingdom. The prophet Isaiah paints a picture of a vision of God, of how God works his salvation. We know for a point that Israel is the chosen people. As the chosen people, they tend to be exclusivist, and they tend to look down on other people, other races, as damned to hell. Maybe, this is the origin of discrimination. Why is there discrimination in the world? Because the Israelites took pride in it. Oh, we are the chosen people of God, the holy priesthood. And so if you are not an Israelite, sorry, you will never belong to the kingdom of God, or salvation is not for you. But God has a different point of view. His salvation is for all. Yes, the Israelites are the chosen people, but it does not end there. God calls people who are not Israelites to belong to his kingdom, to be saved. And so the mention here of Put, Lud, Javan, Musok tells of the universality of God's salvation. That God's salvation is not solely for Israel. And you know why? Because God wanted this people, this considered by the Israelites as outsider. So we are your outsider. So you're damned to hell. But God said, no, my salvation is inclusive, as opposite to exclusive. So don't be exclusivist. Don't be exclusivist. You don't have the right to say that, oh, I am the Son of God. You are damned to hell. Don't say that, because we are all candidates for the kingdom of God. God desires that each one of us would see and enjoy his glory. And you know what? What is the beautiful message in our first reading is, even from this outsider, God has intention to bring priests, missionaries to other parts of the world. From this outsider who were condemned by the Israelites. So we see here the mentality of God as opposed to the mentality of the Israelites. So again, the lesson is, do not discriminate. Do not shun other people, because God intends that all people will be saved. The letter to the Hebrews defines for us the value of discipline. Of course, parents know what is discipline. May I ask this question? Why do you discipline your children, your kids, by the way? What is the purpose of discipline? You do discipline your kids, your children, because you love them. You don't want them to be crooked later on. That's why children should not resent their parents if you are being disciplined, because that is for your own good. That is a manifestation of how your parents love you. Because if they don't love you, oh, They will let you do your thing, even if it is evil, even it would harm you. Since they don't love you, okay, go your way. They have nothing to do with you. But since they love you, they are disciplining you. And here, my dear brothers and sisters, the act of discipline is an act of opening the door. Just like the first reading, where God opens the door to people, to all people, not to a few people. God opens the door for all so that they will see His glory. Here, the Israelites were also disciplined by Yahweh. In what way that Yahweh disciplined the Israelites? By putting them into exile. Why? Because through this discipline, the Israelites, as of what I have said, they were so complacent. Since we are the chosen people, what will we do? We pride in it. But God said, no, you have to work hard in order for you to be saved. Don't be complacent. You need to be purified. So the act of discipline or disciplining is also an act of purification. Purification of the mind. Purification of the character. So that something good out of that person will come out. So here, discipline is a way where God opens the door for people to really see the beauty of salvation, which is offered to all. The person who asked Jesus, "Are there few who will be saved?" implies that salvation is really for few. We are only few who will be saved. That is the implication of that question. But you know, Jesus, when he was asked with this question, "Are there few who will be saved?" Take note that Jesus did not answer categorically, yes or no. Did he? No, he did not answer. What was his answer? His answer was a challenge. And what is the challenge? Strive. Try to enter to the narrow gate, the narrow door. Narrow door, that means you have to exert a lot of effort. Don't be complacent by the mere fact that, hey, you are a baptized Catholic, you go to church, and that is it. We will say, I am already saved. But Jesus did not say no. Did not say, yes, it's okay. Yeah, it's good. You go to church, but it's not enough. You have to strive. You have to do a lot of service to your fellow human beings. You have to do a lot of sacrifices. Here, Christ is opening to people that salvation is not a pie in the sky that will be given easily to people. You have to work hard for your salvation. The narrow door there means that you have to do more sacrifices, just like Jesus. Do you think that he saved the world through an instant like that? How did Christ save the world? Through the narrow door. And what is that narrow door? Through the cross. Through his crucifixion. Christ was able to save humanity. So here, we will be surprised when people would say, oh, why are these people outsider? Christ opened the door for them. We will be shocked. Why are they in heaven when seldom can we see in the church where Father Noel Ancheta preached and celebrated the Mass, but why are they here in heaven? Oh, brothers and sisters, you don't have the right to say that. It is all in God's plan and will. because he keeps on opening the door even for outsider. He keeps on opening the door for all to see his glory and enjoy his salvation. The last exhortation, my dear brothers and sisters, is don't shut the door for other people. Don't be exclusivist. Don't discriminate. Why? Because God, remind us, never, never discriminate. And God is not an exclusivist God.